Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zacks Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Alexander Selegenev, who is Executive Director at TMT Investments. How are you today, Alexander?
Good morning, Zach.
Apologies for not being able to say your name. Maybe I can get my teeth in at a later date. But the important, even more important getting your name right, is the occasion of your final results today. Could you run us through them?
Absolutely, Zach. Thank you for the opportunity. The results have been quite impressive. The NAV per share is up almost 9% year on year. We've had quite a number of profitable revaluations, most notably from our larger holdings like Bolt, the ride-sharing platform, well-known in the UK, and Sendbird, our privately held send subscription service, active in the UK, in the USA. They launched in the UK last year, in fact. Quite big revaluation chunks, but importantly as well, quite a few cash exits. We managed to dispose at nice valuation levels some stock in our publicly traded Backblaze, US data backup and cloud storage company in the US, Nasdaq quoted. And we had a number of partial exits, most notably perhaps from Spin AI. It was post balance sheet event, but it was a very nice revaluation and a partial cash exit. We received $1.5 million in cash proceeds from that one in January. And the importance of this is that, as you know, our total market capitalization at the moment is less than the valuation of our stake in Bolt alone. And in general, it's a roughly 70% discount to NAV per share, which is quite amazing. And in fact, assumes that investors totally don't take into account the value of our 50 company plus portfolio. And examples like this partial disposal from Spin AI demonstrates that there is, in fact, quite a lot of value in those smaller companies in our portfolio. And the market, the M&A market is active, and good companies do get acquired by credible investors at reasonable, nice valuation levels. And all of this proves that the potential of the portfolio is definitely there, and the upside potential is hopefully there, of course, as well.
I mean, do you think that the, one of the reasons for the, let's say, the lack of valuation, like, you know, the undervaluation perhaps, is that as you have with many investment companies, they tend to be quite sprawling, and people kind of, you know, they sort of value you on your worst investment, not your best one?
This is probably the case. Judging from the investor sentiment in general, investors have been waiting for the IPO of Bolt. Bolt has publicly announced its intention to float on quite a few occasions in the last year, especially. But given the market volatility, again, we are not insiders, of course, there. But it's likely that they're waiting for just a good market opportunity to continue with their IPO plans. And as we know, investors in general are very conservative when it comes to potential valuations in potential IPOs, especially when we see very divergent examples, like some IPO prices plunge after the IPO, others on the contrary shoot up excessively, unexpectedly. And therefore, people probably just want to be a bit more conservative in their assessment. And once again, the key here is that our valuation of Bolt on our balance sheet, the value of our stake, is based on the latest partial cash exit achieved last year. So it's not a multiple based valuation. It's not hypothetical. It's backed by actual investors buying some of our shares at these levels. And once again, the valuation of Bolt loan, of our stake in Bolt, is higher than our total market cap right now.
The other question, I suppose, is a matter of the one of the things I said, the you have people get can't see the wood for the trees in terms of you got your sprawling portfolio. The other aspect is we've seen on the stock market, especially at the lower end, lower market cap end, if you're a 5, 10, 20 million pound company, you don't really have the scale to invest properly to make a significant investment, and you don't have the resources to sort of get the best companies in your portfolio, and you just get drowned out by PLC costs, etc., etc. Would it be better if your market cap was rather than $60 million, it was $600 million? Would that scale make a difference in the amount of money you're throwing at the market?
To be honest, we wouldn't see a significant advantage if we were, say, a $600 million dollar market cap company right now. In terms of access to the opportunities, it's not really related to the size of the balance sheet. It's really about access to good deals. In fact, we had a very good example, which is unusual for TMT because we normally tend to focus on earlier stage opportunities. But for instance, last year we invested on the secondary market in a secondary market transaction in a privately held Scale AI company. It's an AI infrastructure company, quite well known. A lot of AI companies rely on their products. And we invested when the company was already valued in billions. And there were specific reasons for that. Perhaps we can discuss it separately at some point. But the timing was right. The company almost immediately, within a few months, announced a huge round from Meta. The company revalued upwards more than 100%. We got our investment plus a small profit back in the form of the dividend that Scale AI paid on the back of that strategic investment from Meta. It's just a good example that if you're small or large, you can get access to good opportunities, small or large. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be able to participate in a multi-billion, dozens of billion dollar rounds by Anthropic or similar companies, but it's not our strategy anyway. So I would say some opportunities would be available, but nothing critical, I would say, in terms of size.
Right. And finally, obviously, there's a lot of talk, and there's been for months, about potential AI bubbles, tech bubbles, and everything else. What's your 1 or 2 minute summary view of that situation?
It's interesting. It's not straightforward. There are definitely bubble symptoms in a lot of things going on in AI. Some valuations are just crazy, and most likely some companies are overvalued, some investment rounds. Fundamentally, the opportunity is definitely there. And in our annual report, we finally redefined our focus. We now say that we invest in AI-driven or AI-resistant companies. In other words, AI is now penetrating so many companies at so many different levels. You cannot avoid this issue. Everyone needs to take the potential impact of AI on the business models, on products, on future revenue streams, almost in every case we look at. At the same time, whether the valuations are running ahead of the fundamental technological changes is a very valid question. And this is one of the reasons why we have not gone in all in AI, not throwing money indiscriminately into AI opportunities, everything AI, but trying to be very, very selective And so far, so good. We have, I've mentioned Scale AI, a large cap opportunity that we successfully identified. We have a couple of smaller AI-related opportunities, such as Practica AI, a language learning platform, and some others. So, in general, the conclusion is as always, there are pros and cons in everything, and you just need the expertise and experience, maybe a little bit of luck, as always, to identify the right opportunities.
Alexander Seleganov, Executive Director at TMT Investments. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.